funky beat. We're gonna walk inside. And guess what's up? Put the food on my plate. Add some coke in my cup. Wednesday, here on The Takeaway, that means we talk about food. Today, inspired by New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg's recent crackdown on salt in local restaurants, we're focusing on America's favorite seasoning, salt. Is salt really that bad? And can food taste good with less of it? Marion Nessel, acclaimed nutritionist from New York University and author of What to Eat, knows a thing or two about salt. She's here to share her wisdom with us. And Melissa Clark, New York Times food writer extraordinaire, takes it to the next level. She has made a couple of reduced salt muffins for me as compared to the heavily salt-laden Dunkin' Donuts variety. Good to have you both with us this morning. Dr. Nessel, I want to begin with you. Let's see. First it was smoking, then it was trans fats. New York's mayor, now he's going doing salt. New York's mayor is kind of like a nanny. You know, he's big brother, isn't he?
Well, I have another way of looking at it. We have a mayor who's actually interested in public health and wants to do something about it and is working with his health department director to see if he can help New Yorkers to be healthier without them having to make individual choices about things.
All right. So is salt in the same category as cigarettes and trans fats?
No, it certainly isn't. But it is a problem for people, and for people who have high blood pressure or are likely to develop it, and I'm afraid that this means a large number of people in our society, particularly as we're all getting older. Salt is a big problem because it raises blood pressure or contributes to the raising of blood pressure. And if you want in this society to eat a low-salt diet, you can't eat out and you can't eat in restaurants. You can't eat processed food because the salt is already there before you have any choice about it. So I see this as a matter of personal choice. If I want a low-salt diet, I can't eat one because 80% of the salt in American diets is in food before it gets to the consumer.
Why is there so much salt in all this food?
Well, there are three reasons for putting salt in food. One, it makes them taste better and heightens the taste. Two, it adds weight to it. So you pay more for the food.
Really?
And the third is that
it
makes
ballast?
You thirsty.
It's just ballast, that's all?
A little ballast.
Yeah.
And the third is that it makes you thirsty so that you want to drink more. Oh. And that's why there are always salty snacks.
So the drink manufacturers are in cahoots, huh?
They are. And then processed foods don't really taste very good. And so, because they have a lot of additives and a lot of things in them that often don't taste good, so they put in a lot of salt to cover up the bad taste.
Wow.
They do that with sugar, too.
Suddenly, I'm not so hungry. All right, Melissa Clark is here. She's brought in, first of all, let's talk about the Dunkin' Donuts corn muffin. On occasion, I've had these. And is there a lot of salt in this thing?
There is a lot of salt in that. There's 860 milligrams of salt in that, which is one-third of your daily allowance of salt in one muffin.
So one muffin, one-third.
Of your daily salt allowance. So that's, assuming that you're going to have that muffin, you're probably going to also maybe have some bacon or some eggs with it. That's probably your salt for the entire week. So
wait a minute. So that's 2,400 grams is all you can have per day?
That's, I think, the government recommended. Yeah. Milligrams. Yes, not grams. Thank you, Marion. Milligrams.
Sorry.
Yeah. Dr. Nessel, is
very important.
Is that an appropriate number, you think, or should that be even lowered?
First of all, it's sodium, not salt, and that's confusing because the labels give it in sodium, which is 40% of sodium chloride. But that's right. If it's 800 milligrams of sodium, that's a third of the daily upper limit that is recommended.
Well, let's get to the taste.
So what I did over here is, you see, you have three muffins in front of you.
We've got three muffins in front of you.
Don't eat them all.
I'm so jealous. I'm not blindfolded. So I'm looking at these muffins.
Yeah.
And there you've got the Dunkin' Donuts muffin.
Which is a huge honking muffin.
It is a huge muffin. Yeah. I tried to make a big one just so we'd be comparable in size. You see, one of them is big.
Yeah.
Now, that bigger muffin is my normal muffin recipe. It's not reduced salt. That's the muffin recipe that I make. It's got a normal amount of salt, a normal amount of sugar, and it's got 250 milligrams of salt in it. So it's got a quarter of the salt of the Dunkin' Donuts muffin. Mm-hmm. And then, beware of the last muffin you're about to taste. I was thinking, gosh, you know, this muffin only has 250 milligrams of salt, and the Dunkin' Donuts has so much more. Maybe I should double the salt and make it taste even better. So have a taste
of
that one.
Double?
Yeah. you see the results. No. So my sorry, Miles.
Not good.
My point is, and I really want to make this point, is that people are concerned about salt in processed foods, but at home, it is almost impossible to add as much salt as you can add into a processed Dunkin' Donut muffin or processed foods. It just doesn't taste good. So I think the point here is, go ahead and cook fresh foods at home. Use whatever amount of salt your recipe calls for. It's still going to be a heck of a lot less than anything you can buy out there.
All right, but quickly, if you don't have time to make your own muffins, what do you do?
Well, then we have to thank the mayor, because you're going to have better choices out there as soon as his law goes into effect. Or it's actually an initiative goes into effect. We hope people have better choices. But if you can make your own muffin or choose fresh fruit, choose something that is naturally low in sodium.
All right, Melissa Clark, who made us some muffins, and Marion Nessel, thank you both. We appreciate it. And thanks for peppering us with that information.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.